Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Talk sports, Fox Sports, you should check the box score. Bought a house in Concord adjacent to the golf course. Bentley, cut the mic off. Hey. You ain't sick, you just want to take some time off. Hey, we talking Tennessee, we bleeding orange hair. We talking sports right up underneath the sun's flare. He got hot takes, Cody McClure. John Reed on the farm, walk around in manure. Hey, Fox Sports, Knoxville, 865. This is Talk Sports and we about to go live. Fox Sports, Knoxville, 865. This is Talk Sports and we about to go live.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Apparently, if the good Lord's will and the creek don't rise, was first said in the late 18th century by Benjamin Hawkins, who was asked by the U.S. president to go back to Washington. In his reply, he is said to have written, if God willing and the creek don't rise.
What year was that?
Late 18th century.
So late 1700s.
That's what that means, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No relation to Stephen Hawking, I assume.
No, this is Hawkins.
So no relation.
I would imagine there's no relation here. Although he capitalized creek. He capitalized creek in the saying.
Did he capitalize God?
Yes, but that was because...
Thankfully...
But that was because that was the first word of a sentence. So, it was actually in reference, is believed to be in reference to the Creek Indian tribe, not the water.
Oh.
So, if the creek don't rise, was basically unless the Creek tribe rises
the
and kills us all.
The creeks don't rise, yeah. Well.
How about that?
How about that for a plot twist? That's got to be. Why else would he capitalize it? Unless he's just an idiot.
That's what they believe.
Ah, well, that makes sense. Makes sense. I imagine the Native American tribes were probably a real thorn in the side of the early settlers.
How do you think they felt?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know, but I'm saying just...
I imagine the early settlers were a thorn in their side.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
And they get they get their payback slowly but surely every time we go to Cherokee to the casino.
It's a small price to pay.
How about that? We learned something new. The creek don't rise was not talking about the water. It was talking about the Creek Indian tribe.
Well, now there's no need to even say it anymore.
I know.
I guarantee you 85% of people don't know that.
85%? I would say it's 99%.
Probably 99% of people who use that expression.
Now, I mean, Hank Williams did take it and maybe, I don't think he knew, because he turned into something different.
He was on drugs.
Was he?
What would the Yodel Boy do without Hank Williams?
That's a good question.
He wouldn't be a star.
Okay.
What would Hank Williams Jr. have done without Hank Williams? Hank
never
Williams
been born.
Hank Williams paved the way for two future stars.
He literally never would have been born.
Well, yeah, that's true. Speaking of future stars, LSU and Les Miles have agreed to a buyout settlement. This opens the door for Les Miles to coach in 2019. Makes it apparent that he may be headed to take that Kansas job. Or it's either that or he's just turning down $5 million for some reason. LSU announced yesterday the school and Miles have agreed to a buyout that includes a one-time lump sum payment of $1.5 million of the $6.5 remaining in the original agreement, which would have been binding until 2023, Miles was fired four games into the 2016 season after he lost to Gus Malzahn. Joe Oliva, the AD, says it's time for both parties to move forward. One of the challenges of the buyout was in place there. Wasn't a lot of incentive to move on to other things. Blah, 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 blah. Mutually agreed upon. So... The only way that's mutually agreed upon is if Les Miles is taking another coaching job. There's no other explanation, right?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the obvious dot to connect, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and he's like, "Ah, you know, LSU, we're good on this. Just go ahead and give me this much money up front, and we'll count that other $5 million off because I'm getting ready to get, you know, some money from Jeff Long in Kansas." So,
hope he's got the deal signed with Kansas.
Hope he's got. Surely he has it already inked, right?
I would think so. If you're going to make that move, did you know? Since the kickoff of the regular season, NFL games have accounted for 29 of the top 30 shows on television.
Yeah, man.
This coming from NFL Media yesterday.
We've mentioned this many times because everyone talks about the NFL ratings declining, and we're failing to realize like TV just declines all over the board. NFL has actually gotten more of a market share now than ever before.
29 of the top 30 shows on TV. Boom. NFL games. Can you guess what the highest rated one all year has been? Number one.
I mean, the best game in primetime was Patriots-Chiefs. But is that number one? Cowboys-Eagles?
No.
Tell me, is it early season or late season?
Late. More recent.
Okay.
This can't give it away.
And we're talking about just primetime games, I assume, or is it Sunday afternoon? The Sunday afternoon included?
I feel like that gives it away. But
I mean, is it Ram Saints? I mean, that wouldn't be number one.
No. Right? No. That was number four.
Yeah, see, I would think it'd have to be a nighttime game. I don't know what it would be if it wasn't.
We'll just sit here until you get it.
Okay, so it wouldn't be Bears.
You said Kansas City, New England. That was number seven.
Okay, yeah, I mean, because I was thinking Kansas City's not very
You said Cowboys, Eagles. That was not on the list, or not in the top 10.
I don't know if that just happened so recently. I doubt it's even been graded yet.
This is 9-6 through 11-12, so.
Okay.
Just going to sit here and wait.
The one I watched the most of was the Titans-Cowboys.
It's not on here.
Yeah. I keep thinking it's Sunday Night Football.
Mm-hmm. Interesting thought.
Because Monday Night Football, I mean, obviously less people have ESPN, you know? Thursday night, I mean, you just have other stuff going on.
Yeah, there's no Monday night games on here.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN is just too tough. People don't have that.
I'll give you a hint.
No hints.
It's the Packers versus the Patriots.
Packers and Patriots.
That's it. Number one, 23.7 million viewers. Green Bay and New England, week 9. Dallas, Carolina, number two.
I figured the Cowboys would be somewhere up there.
You want to guess 3 through 10?
Nope.
Number three, Dallas, Seattle. Okay.
So you put Dallas in there. That's why I figured that the Dallas Eagles would be up there, but maybe not.
Dallas did have two games in there. Eagles made one. The Vikings-Eagles game was number eight. But, yeah, so lots of people watching the NFL on television. Draymond Green told Kevin Durant to leave. He said he could leave the Warriors. We don't need you. That's the report coming out of the Bay Area. In addition to calling Kevin Durant a B-word several times, Draymond also reportedly dared the two-time finals MVP to leave Golden State in free agency during their altercation Monday. This coming from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. Green reportedly told Durant he was not needed on the team, citing the team's 2015 NBA championship as proof they could succeed at the highest level without Durant.
Not to keep bemoaning the same topic, but Draymond is the one who called Kevin Durant. Like, are you allowed to have that moral high ground and competitive high ground when you're the one who called him after you lost Game 7 to say, hey, we need you, Kevin? Can you say that? Because are we allowed to – do we acknowledge – and I know that we in this room probably doesn't actually have a strong opinion about this, but we as in NBA fans, do we acknowledge that first Warriors title as being legit? Because keep in mind, they went to six games with the Cavs. That was without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. It was LeBron, Tristan Thompson, and Matthew Dellavedova.
I mean, they still beat LeBron in the finals.
Yeah, and Matthew Dellavedova and Tristan Thompson. But like, the other two stars were gone.
But Bron.
That was a very injured team. That seems like there should be a little bit of an asterisk next to it.
I mean, it's a title.
So, I mean, you don't... When you're defending LeBron, you don't feel like that one was a little bit of an impossible task?
Oh, yeah, if I'm defending LeBron, sure. But right now we're talking about the flip side of it, right?
So now you're going to defend the other side?
Yeah. That's what a great sports radio host does, right?
I guess.
Just flip-flop on every issue until you come to some kind of
coherency. Give me some real defense other than just saying it's LeBron.
Well, it was LeBron. I'm saying you beat LeBron in the finals. That's a pretty big feat.
I think if the second best player on the court is Matthew Dellavedova, then no, it's really not.
I mean, you had to run. You still had to go through the West. You had to beat the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they earned their. If you win a title, you got to earn it.
And then they turned around the next year when the Cavs were healthy and lost to them. The Warriors won 73 games and then lost to the Cavs when the Cavs were healthy.
Should have beat them.
Should have beat them, but didn't.
Damn right they didn't.
Really got grinded out in the last half of that fourth quarter at home. So, like, Draymond, yeah, you won without Durant, but you definitely need Durant. You definitely need him.
I mean, Durant can simply point to those two finals MVPs.
Yep. And all he has to say is him. Like, if you don't feel like you need me, why were you calling me, begging me to come? Because you couldn't beat LeBron.
Dan Dakich reports that Jeff Brohm will be announced as the University of Louisville head football coach on Monday, November 26th. According to my sources, he says. Dan is a radio guy, 1070 The Fan? You know Dan Dakich? Dakich?
Jeff Brohm came out and said that it was... unequivocally false.
Well, we'll find out on November 26th.
Is this going to happen again to Jeff Brohm? He's going to have a deal in place, and it's going to be reported that he has accepted another job, only for it to leak, and then him say, nope, never mind, staying here.
Did that happen somewhere else?
Yeah. Yeah, here in Knoxville. Remember, Jimmy Himes had reported that Jeff Brohm was the next Tennessee head coach, and then Jeff Brohm's like, nope, that's not true, and then Jeff Brohm stayed at Purdue.
I am familiar with the story.
Now, granted, I think that Jeff Brohm has the emotional ties to Louisville. Feels like if he doesn't take this Louisville job, like, is he just staying at Purdue forever?
I mean, if you don't go back to your alma mater, where else are you going to go?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't leave for Tennessee, and he didn't leave for his alma mater. Is he ever going to leave?
I don't know, man. If your alma mater is Louisville, do you really feel compelled to leave if you're a great head college football coach? Like, with Harbaugh, makes sense. Michigan, with Kirby, makes sense. Georgia? But if your alma mater's Louisville, I mean, you know, there's better jobs out there. Andrew's tried to sneak in. He's tried to sneak in for 2 days now, 2018 MLB MVP honors. Like, I'm going to read those on the air. The Rolling Stones are teasing a United States tour for 2019. This is huge, huge news. I don't know if you saw yesterday, John. They tweeted out a GIF of the tongue rising and the sunset in the east, right by the Statue of Liberty, looking on. There was a tongue banner hanging from Mile High Stadium in Denver. There were tongues on the sidewalks in Philly. There were rumors that they could be coming to the Jazz Fest in New Orleans. Rumors abound.
So wait, the Jazz Fest can afford... the Rolling Stones, but Bonnaroo can't?
Well, rumors. These are rumors for now. These are rumors. But it's looking like the Stones may be coming back to the U.S.
I feel like this is an appropriate time to say if the good Lord's willing.
Well, that's definitely true. That's definitely true.
do feel like over the last 48 hours or so, we have seen who takes things to the extreme. Here at the station, somehow everybody was at each other's throat yesterday, dropping bombs, throwing haymakers. Kevin Durant and Draymond have a little bit of a problem, and Draymond responds with, "Well, you're a bitch. Get out of here. We hate you. We don't need you. We don't really love you. We just wanted to break up the Thunder." Essentially, like going right for the throat. And now here I see the formal complaint Cody made yesterday after this or that, which, by the way, I still maintain was judged fairly, and many people, including the Godfather Nate, were arguing with me last night about death related to Heat, and I still maintain that Heat-related deaths have more factors than just Heat.
I just want to say I appreciate Nate for looking into it as a good owner slash GM slash Godfather slash HR manager would do. I sent the email. It was a very, I mean, you could tell I was very respectful in the email. I was, professional and courteous, and it was a strongly worded, but it was professional, and I appreciate Nate looking into it. And, you know, whatever happens from here forward, I mean, it's fine. I'll assume it was judged fairly. Or it was handled properly, not judged fairly. It obviously wasn't judged fairly.
I mean, Nate listened to it. He went into details. He was even sending me articles about Heat-related deaths. And, yeah, sure, most of them were, again, like we talked about, old people outside playing golf or people working or just people who are sick that, you know, can't handle the heat.
I just know that
I didn't happen to see any of someone just dying from sitting outside overnight in the heat, whereas in the cold, you know, you go sit outside at night, you're going to die.
I don't want to get back into it. I mean, Ben was probably a little bit right that I could have argued better for the AC. Still yet, I had no fewer than 150 tweets come in that said I should have won. No fewer than 150 tweets.
Well, I got the one person who I needed on my side. But here's this email. Do you want to read the email or do you want me to read the email?
You can
Of you whining and complaining.
It's not whining and complaining.
Snitching to the boss.
Well, it is it's a formal complaint.
You snitched is what happened.
You can read it.
Godfather. My name is Cody McClure. I am the heavyset co-host of your midday program, Talk Sports, which airs Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. In parentheses, it is the highest-rated sports program in this particular time slot in the market.
Thought I should let him know that.
I think Cody needs to be the one reading it.
I think so, too, but I'll read it. I don't care. No, I'll read it.
Yeah, you read it.
You could just interject. Which, first of all, I appreciate you considering yourself the only heavyset co-host.
Well, I'm the heavyset co-host, like...
of this show.
Right. I appreciate you not saying I'm... One.
I mean, you're heavy set, but you're
according to your email.
Well, you're the host, though.
Oh,
like I'm the co-host.
Is that how that works?
I don't know.
So
I mean, you're the number one. So like,
we're both technically co-hosts because we co-host together.
Right. It means co-hosting two people hosting, but I don't know. I'm the heavy set one.
I appreciate the compliment.
Regardless, I'm the heavy set one. I mean, you're heavy set. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you're a little, a little. I mean, not a lot, not bad.
I felt really heavy set yesterday when I was running up and down the court, not scoring in basketball.
Yeah. I mean, everybody in this room is heavy set.
The goal was not to score for me. It was just to be able to run the court.
It's thick. Well,
there you go.
It's thick these days.
Everybody's heavy set, but I sit the heaviest.
As you know, the executive producer of the program is a scruffy gentleman named Benjamin Lee, who is a college dropout.
Had to throw that in there?
I would like to formally file a complaint against Mr. Lee for his unashamed bias in judging our weekly segment, This or That. For several weeks now, I have had a strong case for winning the game. However, Mr. Lee has refused to let that happen. He has shown clear bias in his previous judgments. Many people are saying that today's outcome was particularly egregious. Many people.
I wanted to emphasize many people because many, many people said it. Not just two or three.
It is my hope that you will reprimand Mr. Lee for his actions. I appreciate your time eagerly, I appreciate your time. Eagerly await your response on this matter. What
There's
the hell
supposed
happened
to be an and in there.
You lose your whole formal complaint whenever you
I had one minor error. One error. I appreciate your time and eagerly await your response on this matter.
I feel like you blew it in the last paragraph.
He didn't notice. He knew what I meant.
Just like you blew it in that argument.
He knew what I meant.
This or that. P.S. It is worth noting that Mr. Lee was demoted earlier this week by his direct supervisor, Mr. John Reed, for an unrelated incident. Regards, Cody McClure.
The subject line was Ben Lee should be fired in all caps.
Well, you weren't the only person. You had Russell going full Draymond Green and asking if Ben even works here and saying he's going to get Ben fired.
Well, yeah, Russell was particularly mean yesterday to Ben. And, like, the whole thing, though, it started with me and Ben had the little spat, but, you know, we're like brothers, so it was fine. But then
– So you go start calling – you go start crying to Dad. Well, Godfather. Godfather, well, I mean, can I get your judgment here? By the way
– I mean, we got to have an HR department in this place.
It's very important to note that the first, like, eight times we played this or that, I was cheated – six of at least the eight times, because you guys had a whole little stick of, we're going to let Cody win, even though his arguments are nowhere as good as John's. Ha-ha, won't that be funny?
That wasn't
and I
a thing.
Didn't complain.
That wasn't a thing.
I didn't complain. You didn't hear me crying.
Well, you've won like 14 of the last 15 now.
Well, I don't know that that's true either.
Whenever you start talking about gerrymandering and you don't know
I was gerrymandered.
You don't know what gerrymandering means.
I know who gerrymandering is.
Then Russell comes off the top rope, and he comes at Ben's head. I got Nate coming at me with old people dying, talking about heat. And I'm like, Nate, we literally had to create fire to stay alive. Like, he's like, show me where people die from the cold. Did you, history.
He did.
The cavemen had to make fire to stay alive.
He did his due diligence in looking
he
into the matter.
He fired off three things. I don't know what Nate was doing. I felt attacked. I had tried to stay out of the beef. All I had mentioned it when you, I mean, this all started with you, A, making Ben, you and Ben doing your thing, and then you went and laid out the drive show.
I found that. Russell left that laying in the office. That was not me. I found it.
It's true. I was with him. We walked out. He turned it over. He goes, oh,
I
hey, found, look,
I said,
it's the
what
drive
is this?
Rundown.
Oh, and, a drive show rundown.
And I chose to take the high road. I didn't go after the drive. I went after you and just saying, this happens to be the most work you've done. You did more with that piece of paper than you've done preparing
well,
for the
you,
show in
yeah,
over a year.
Yeah, nonsense. You were incorrect in saying it took a lot of thought, because it didn't take a lot of thought.
I think you underestimate how low the bar is that you would have to clear to exceed your level of thought on the show.
Ah, nonsense. I prepare every day.
I think you're underestimating how easy it would be to hop
know,
over that bar.
You know I work spontaneously. You know I work spontaneously.
What does that even mean?
It means I'm better spontaneous than I am with a prepared notes. Anyway, so yeah, then Russell and Bear start coming at me yesterday evening for nothing. I don't know what I did to them. They just came at me out of nowhere. So then Ben and I had to align, even though we were in our own spat.
Well, they were talking crap about Talk Sports, so obviously Talk
and
Sports.
And guess which member of Talk Sports wasn't there to defend the show?
I chose to take the high road.
You know, I was the whole time I was just sitting there thinking about how we got emails about bullying earlier in the year, and I just sat there and I reread those as I cried over Russell's tweets at me.
I mean, quite frankly, if you want to be honest, like, I was just taken aback. I was sitting there and I felt like I was watching you, 1, 2, 4 knuckleheads try to tear down the brand that me and Nate has built so worked so hard. Me, Nate, and Houston have put this on our backs, carried the brand. I don't know if you know what the anniversary of today is, but it's our airport stakeout, one of our finer achievements. And instead of celebrating our accomplishments, we got you four knuckleheads trying to tear down what the rest of us have built.
Four knuckleheads?
You, Ben, Russell, Bear. 1, 2, 3, 4.
R.I.P. Intern Dalton.
I think we've been instrumental in helping to build.
You've been a part of it. You've done a little decorating.
Maybe. I helped.
You didn't do much of the building. You've done a little decoration.
I hung some picture frames.
All right.
I put that snow globe in the office.
Decorations, exactly.
I left a big beaten-up car in the front yard.
Decorations, exactly. I was just taken aback. Like, we're at the time of year we're supposed to be celebrating our accomplishments, and you guys are just tearing each other down. You're snitching to the boss, trying to get Ben fired.
And then, and don't forget, after all was almost all said and done, Big Bird comes out of nowhere last night talking about how Talk Sports is unlistenable.
Yeah. I thought I took that differently. I took Davey as having our back. I thought that was Davey blocking out the noise of people running down Talk Sports.
No, Davey was coming at us.
That was a shot.
Davey said, make sure to tune in to Talk Sports, and I took it
with
as...
with his ears covered.
I took it as him. I took that as him blocking out the outside noise.
Didn't he hashtag, like, unlistenable?
Oh, I didn't see the hashtag if that happened.
I think he put it at the end, like, unlistenable radio.
Davey texts me many times during the show. Many times Davey texts me during the show as he's listening. If I talk to Titans, it seems like Davey's always listening, so... Don't let Davey hashtag unlistenable.
I love this show. You guys are great.
I took that as Davey having our back, but maybe not. And there's no hashtag, Ben Lee.
I'm going to look again.
You're trying to create enemies here that aren't here.
We had enemies last night.
I thought Davey was an ally.
Davey was not an ally. Davey was coming at us.
I thought that he was blocking out the outside noise.
Talk
Sports is
unlistenable. Intern Andrew's already beating you there. There's no hashtag.
Let's see. Everyone make sure to go tune in to hashtag TalkSports. There is a hashtag. With John Reed and Cody McClure and Ben Lee. Tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m.
He even gave you a shout-out.
Yeah, he did.
Congrats.
Tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. on Fox Sports Knox. With the Dumb and Dumber.
I took that as him blocking out all the haters.
My whole takeaway from yesterday, I'll just leave it at this. John has always said he always stands up for us. No matter what, he rides and dies with TalkSports.
That's right.
That is true.
Yesterday, nowhere to be found.
That is incorrect. I texted Russell personally, and I said, I think you went a little too far with the Ben Lee comment. I texted him personally. I made my move in silence. I didn't want to air it out and make it a public issue.
Public.
I texted him. I was like, hey, I think you went a little too far. I
would have meant more if it was public.
I appreciated that. I was in my house. I had all the lights turned off at that point. I was kind of just like looking at Twitter in the dark.
I didn't go into the group text with Nate and Houston and Russell. I didn't want to look like I was tattling to the boss. I just texted Russell. I was like, hey, I think a little too far.
Pulled out some liquor from the fridge.
I didn't say, like, you should apologize to Ben Lee, but I was like, eh. Seems like that was a pretty rough shot.
You should have publicly said, apologize to Ben Lee or I'm going to beat you up.
It's more important that my guys know I have their back. It's more important that my guys
know I have
their
back. I'd rather the public know, too.
Well, look. I feel like you two have done your best to alienate us from the rest of the programming.
We have not.
I don't see what we've done.
You went after the drive. Ben Lee goes at everybody.
That's not true.
Ben Lee tries to fight with everybody.
Just the producers.
I didn't go after the drive. I simply found their show rundown, and I tweeted what I found.
I'm just,
we got the plaque outside. Best local radio host, John Reed.
Congrats.
Right, I mean,
we have the hardware.
As the voice of the station, voted on by the people, not me. This wasn't me. Voted on by the people. I was really sad to see that you guys would ruin my anniversary of our viral moment by making it about quabbles. And by the way, I haven't gotten to thank you from the Godfather about that. He was too busy yelling at me about people dying from the heat doing activities.
I was sad to see that the number one voice from the station didn't come defend his team when it mattered. That's like going into battle without the captain there.
Steph Curry hasn't said anything about this Durant-Draymond thing out in public. Sometimes you got to keep it in-house. What has Steph Curry said out loud? He's the leader of the Warriors. What has he said? You don't know. That's true leadership. I don't need to tell the media or make a statement. I'm sure Steph has pulled both Draymond and Durant aside and said, look, we got goals here. We can't be picking each other apart. We have to be unified.
We're supposed to be the show with the flair.
I think we're seriously hurt.
The show that doesn't take it off anybody. You know what I mean? The show that you come at us, you're going down, buddy. You're going down in the dirt, and we're going to rub your face into it. That's the show we're supposed to be.
That's true.
I feel like I've tried to evolve. I don't go to 10 very often anymore.
Yeah, there was a time when the nation, with our back against the wall and the nation against us, you went to battle.
I'm there when it matters.
You went to the forefront.
I'm there when it matters.
In battle.
I'm there when it matters. Yesterday was not the top. It's the whole speak soft, carry a big stick type of ideology.
Well, yesterday,
ideology.
Your stick was small yesterday.
It was cold.
I saw it, and it was small.
It was cold.
It was cold. Rocks were shriveled up, too.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. On Wednesday, we talked about the key to this game, this Missouri-Tennessee game. We talked about the key being Drew Locke. You still feel that way?
Yes. Really, their whole offense in general, though, because they do run the ball well.
Yeah, the few times I've actually watched them this year, they've been more successful on the ground than through the air.
There's an interesting thing that I saw. You may be about to point this out from Dubs, David Ubbin.
Yeah.
I call him Dubs.
That's a cool nickname.
D-Ubs.
Yeah.
Dubs.
Yeah, that's where I was going with this was.
Okay, well, go ahead.
These stats, I think, would surprise a lot of people. Drew Locke this year, 56.4% completion percentage. Jarrett Garantano, 60.7% completion percentage. Now, Drew Locke's thrown, 62 more passes this year? 202 compared to 140?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess with when you throw more, I guess your percentage is more likely to drop a little bit. Kind of surprising to me that in 62 more attempts, Drew Locke only has 1,123 more yards. Or 123 more yards, not 11. 123 more yards.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
In 62 attempts, 123 yards. So basically, if Garantano had 62 more passes, he would just need to throw in a 2 yards per attempt thing to equal Drew Locke's offensive output.
Yeah, like Locke's extra passes, he's averaging like 6 inches a pass.
Maybe the most surprising stat that came out of this, by the way, Drew Locke, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's kind of surprising, right?
That's bad.
That's more interceptions than touchdowns, obviously.
Those numbers are bad.
Compared to Garantano, who has 8 touchdowns compared to 2 interceptions.
Both against the Gators.
Both those against the Gators.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, I mean, Garantano hasn't thrown an interception since then, right?
Nope. Gator needs his gap.
So the touchdown to interception ratio in SEC play is surprising. 8-2 compared to 6-7. That's kind of surprising, right?
Yes, it is surprising, especially when, coming into the year, it's just Locke was viewed as this quarterback who was an NFL draft pick, like one of the better draft-eligible quarterbacks, which, I know you've said all along you didn't think he was any good, and his numbers have always been inflated against inferior competition. So when you consider that, maybe it's not all that surprising that Garantano's been better. I think it's more of a testament to how good Garantano has been.
We haven't even gotten to the stat that surprised me the most. I guess we sort of have, but the yards per attempt is what jumped out to me.
Because everybody talks about how with Garantano, his numbers are so good. Like the Christians, the people who are against Garantano, they act like Garantano's yards per attempt, like that's where they hit him. They say, yeah, he just throws these screen passes. He just throws these little pop screens. And yeah, 7.9 yards per attempt.
So to me, the yards per attempt in SEC play, like you said, 7.9 yards per attempt, that's a full 1.8 yards better than Drew Locke. Drew Locke, 6.1 yards per attempt, which really makes that completion percentage look even worse.
Mm-hmm. The lower the yards per attempt, correlated with a low completion percentage,
worse. It's supposed to go the other way. Like, if you're dinking and dunking, you're supposed to be 65, 66, 70% completion percentage if you're throwing 3, 4, 5 yards down the field.
As opposed to throwing 15-yard passes over the middle.
Sure. And SEC opponents? I mean, Missouri played Alabama this year. Well, so did Tennessee. Although Garantano didn't play very long against Alabama. Does that maybe have something to do with this? If we're looking for what's skewing these stats, would it be Garantano only played a quarter and a half against Alabama, whereas Drew Locke had to play an entire game. Because otherwise, like, you know, Missouri's played a similar East schedule, correct?
Yes, they've played all the same teams pretty much because they're in the same division.
And they haven't played their other West opponent yet, which is Arkansas. And we would say that Auburn is tougher than Vanderbilt, right? We would say Auburn's defense is better than Vanderbilt's defense.
Certainly.
Especially when you compare Missouri game was at Missouri, and when Tennessee played Auburn, of course, that was on the road.
Certainly.
I would say that would almost equal out the difference in Garantano only playing a quarter and a half against Alabama on the road.
Yeah, equal out, if not even look better for us.
Or Garantano was at home, excuse me. Drew Locke was on the road against Alabama.
Yeah, and scored 10 points.
Yeah. When you look at those, do you feel like Tennessee has the advantage at quarterback? Because
yes.
The numbers are telling you Tennessee has the advantage in the passing game.
To be completely honest with you, yes, I do. And I actually feel really good about our chances in this game. I feel better about this game than I did the Kentucky game. I didn't think we matched up with Kentucky as well as we do Missouri. I think our offense can come out and really control this game and put some points on the board. Like, everybody's talking like we're going to need, 38 points or something to beat this team. I don't think so. I think our defense, this will be a game probably in the 20s, maybe low 30s to 20s, or maybe fewer. I could see our defense holding Mizzou to like 17 points.
So you could see another low-scoring game?
I could see Tennessee winning this game 31-17. I really feel that way. I think our defense has gotten significantly better throughout the season. I think it's really started to suffocate some teams. I don't think Drew Locke's going to be very good in Neyland. And, I think that we'll be able to handle their running game enough to where I'll give them 17 points. They're better offensively than Kentucky, sure. But their defense is trash. I think Garantano will light them up. I feel really good about this game, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. How you feeling, Andrew? Think Tennessee's going to beat Missouri? Ben Lee? Shaking his head yes? Nodding his head yes?
I think we're going to beat that ass.
I do too.
All right.
I really mean that. And it's not just because of what happened against Kentucky. I just think our defense, that's the biggest key for me. I think we've improved significantly enough on defense that we will be able to suffocate Mizzou's offense for the most part. And look, I'm giving them 17 points. But if we can do that, we hold them to 17, I think we get out of here comfortable with a win.
That's been my thought process. I've been like 14 to 21, somewhere in there. If we can hold them to that, we should be able to get like 31, 38.
I think we can get to 27 to 31, right in there, win by 10 to 14 points.
31 or 38 seems too high for Tennessee's offense.
Maybe 27.
Like, I don't think Tennessee wants to play that type of game. I think Tennessee, if you could ask Jerry Pruitt if he wants a replay of the Kentucky game, like how that game played out, more of a old-school SEC game or a, an NFL type of game where one defense is playing really well and you're just, I don't want to say points are at a premium, but that you're not scoring points every possession type of thing, or mm-hmm. that, you're playing field position battles.
Well, I just think that Missouri's bad enough defensively that we may score quicker than we anticipate, than we usually do.
And I think we'll turn them over.
I mean, what are they? Aren't they like 118th? In the country or something? Let me go check the stats. I mean, they are bad on defense.
I believe against the pass, they are like in the hundreds defending the pass.
So you look at those matchups, like it feels like Tennessee has the better passing game, right?
I really think so, yes.
I'm not even making it a Garantano versus Locke question because, I think Tennessee's receivers are really good. I don't know what Missouri has at receiver. I know they have the really good tight end who's going to be out this week. Other than that, I don't want to make it a, Drew Locke's throwing to Drew Lock's throwing to worse receivers. Okay, we'll just make it a passing game conversation versus quarterback.
Mizzou's been okay against the run.
Okay.
They've actually been decent against the run, but yeah, their pass defense, they give up 276 yards a game. They're one of the worst in the country. Garantano might be able to shred this team.
Well, what is the biggest concern here in this Missouri game?
Like, biggest concern?
Yeah, like, it can't be as simple as, well, Tennessee's going to be able to move the ball in the air because, you know, Tennessee is a 6-point underdog here. So, like, where are the areas of concern? Like, what does Missouri do against offensive lines? Like, do they have a dominant defensive line? Because that's what happened in 2014, right? Like, Missouri came here, Tennessee was in a similar situation where they were feeling good, and it was actually reversed. Tennessee was 6-point favorites, I remember. They had beaten South Carolina, they had came home, they're like, 6-point favorites, Tennessee's going to win out, beat Missouri, beat Vanderbilt.
I mean, Missouri is third in the conference in total offense. They are balanced.
And then Missouri's defensive line dominated that 2014 game and you know, went on their way to the SEC championship.
Do you know we're last in the SEC in total offense?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're last in total offense?
Yeah, we are. So, by quite a bit. But I think we've gotten a lot better is what I'm saying. Like, I think these numbers are skewed a bit based on the averages because of, you know, our stagnant play against teams like Charlotte and UTEP, and then also early in the year when we weren't getting anything going against somebody like Florida. I think it's skewed a little bit to where we are now in the season versus where we were. But, yeah, I mean, when you check the stats, we are last in total offense.
Does that mean just mean yards?
Average yards per game, yeah.
I mean, I do think that's partly by design. Not being last, but I just mean I feel like our games have been kind of lower scoring by design. I think that's how Jeremy Pruitt wants to play, is grind out, let the defense do its job, offense score points when it can. Like, right. I mean, even against South Carolina, we were moving the ball pretty well, but they were methodical drives. They right. were, you know, 12, 14-play drives. So you got your 75 yards, but
it's a pace of play thing.
Yeah.
We're not trying to hurry up and,
right.
you know, like in the Butch days.
And for the most part, you haven't – I mean, can you even say this? I was going to say, for the most part, you haven't been blown out in the SEC. I guess the Georgia game ended up being a blowout. Alabama blew you out. Florida blew you out. So maybe you can say that.
You've been blown out four times this year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at Auburn, I guess, and South Carolina and Kentucky.
Well, those are the teams we're comparing ourselves against right now.
Sure.
I mean, like it or not, like Florida is an outlier. Florida, you play that game again. That's a close game. I'm not saying we win the game, but that's a game that should be winnable. Like, things got out of hand in that game. He had six turnovers.
I don't know if this is exactly the defense, but, it, you know, in 2012, your offense at Tennessee was what, you know, many people consider the best, right? With Bray and Patterson and Hunter, and you were giving up touchdowns, and you had to come up and put yards up.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee's offense was great that year. I think it was in large part because of how bad the defense was. You were constantly playing catch-up.
Yep, in 2012, we ranked last in the conference in defense, giving up 471 yards a game.
Right. You were just getting – it was a fast-break basketball game. Like, they were scoring, you were trying to come back down and score. I do feel like this offense has been kind of the opposite. I feel like your defense has been pretty good. So your offense is trying to draw out longer drives. Your offense isn't getting as many opportunities to play from behind. Like, Arkansas has been trailing by double digits pretty much all year, right?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's been having to score because their defense can't stop anybody, which doesn't seem well. I don't know how Derek Mason isn't on the hot seat yet because he's supposed to be a defensive guy, and their defense has been pretty bad this year. Offense has been good. Defense hasn't been very good.
Yeah, we're ninth in the conference right now in run defense, giving up 152 yards a game. Not ideal, not where you want to be, but compared to last year, when you're dead last, giving up 251 a game, by far the worst in the conference. Like,
yeah, It's improvement.
It is improvement.
Where does Tennessee rank defensively on the in pass defense?
You realize we're giving up 100 yards a game fewer than we did last year. We gave up 251 on the ground on average last year.
Couldn't stop anybody.
This year, 152. We've improved by 100 yards of rush defense.
That would have been nice if you had reminded me of that whenever I was so mad that we couldn't stop South Carolina running the ball. Feels like, hey, yeah, this sucks, but they are 100 yards better than they were last year.
That is a significant improvement. That's one whole football field.
Where does Tennessee rank in terms of pass defense?
Currently, the pass defense in the SEC, currently Tennessee's in the SEC, ranks sixth.
So slightly above the middle of the pack.
Yes.
And
last year, you remember, we had the number one pass defense.
Right. That's fun with numbers.
So we have fallen off significantly.
That's fun with numbers. But that's pretty impressive that, A, you've improved your rush defense by 100 yards, and, B, when you have pretty much, are you relying on, three, four freshmen? I mean, at times it's been three freshmen, right, with Flowers, Buchanan, and Taylor?
I mean, what has happened
Thompson,
to
– not Buchanan, excuse me. Yeah. Not, Buchanan's what, sophomore?
I think Buchanan's a junior.
Okay.
What has happened to our pass defense this year?
So, yeah, we've been relying on three freshmen for the most part.
Hashtag bring back Butch.
Pass attempts against us last year, this is a fun stat. Pass attempts against us last year, only 279 compared to most of the other teams in the conference, over 400. So what that tells you is that teams obviously didn't have to throw the ball.
And they didn't want to throw the ball.
Nope.
Buchanan is a good junior, or is a junior. Good job by you, Binley.
Who's Buchanan?
Baylen Buchanan.
Oh, yeah.
In our secondary.
He plays for our team.
He's a liability.
I don't think he's been a liability.
Nice. I think he's a liability.
I mean, I think the other guys are more talented, but I thought Buchanan, I thought Buchanan's been pretty good this year. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just gonna say it might just be like a me thing, but it's like when you said every time someone scores on the Titans, you see Malcolm Butler running shortly behind.
Yeah,
that's how I feel like it's been for Buchanan this year. But it could just be like every time I look up at the TV, I don't know.
Burn rate, percentage of targets and coverage resulting in gains of 20-plus yards. Baylen Buchanan is actually fifth in the SEC, fifth best.
Oh.
So that might be something where you're just a bias from a couple of plays you've seen.
Yeah.
I saw that stat earlier this week. That's why I was like, I feel like he's been pretty good.
Probably.
Only been burned for over 20-plus yards on 5.9%.
Okay, that's pretty good. I'm sorry, Buchanan. That's
which is fifth best in the SEC. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. As you gear up.